as long as dwelling was the name of all sweet fountain, for the great gathering amongst the great assembly of Bodhisattvas. At that time, the Blessed One was absorbed and was ensnared of the many aspects of Brahmana called profound appearance. At the same time, Noble Ahol Kicheshvara, the Bodhisattva Mahasattva, looking at the practice of the transcription of wisdom, saw the five standards of their natural emptiness. Then, through the power of the Buddha, Venerable Sariputra, said to the Noble Ahol Kicheshvara, Bodhisattva Mahasattva, how should a son of a lineage trained who wished to follow the practice of the profound perfection of wisdom? Thus he spoke, the Noble Avalokiteshvara, the Bodhisattva Mahasattva, answered Venerable Sariputra with these words. Sariputra, those men and women of the lineage who wish to follow the practice of the profound perfection of wisdom should look at it like this. The five standards should be seen purely in their natural emptiness. Form is empty, emptiness is form, and emptiness is not other than form. Form also is not other than emptiness. In the same way, feeling, recognition, compositional factors, and consciousness are empty. Shriyaputra, like this, all phenomena are emptiness, and having no characteristics, they are unborn and unceasing. They are not impure or pure, they neither decrease nor increase. Therefore, Shriyaputra, in emptiness there is no form, no feeling, no recognition, no compositional factors, no consciousness, no eye, no ear, no nose, no tongue, no body, no mind, no appearance, no sound, no smell, no taste, no sensation, no phenomena. There is no quality of sight, and so on, until no quality of mind and no quality of mental consciousness. There is no ignorance, no exhaustion of ignorance, and so on, up to no old age and death, and no exhaustion of old age and death. In the same way, there is no suffering, no origin, no ending, no path, no wisdom, no attainment, and no non-attainment. Therefore, Shariputra, since there is no attainment, Bodhisattvas rely on and abide by means of the profound perfection of wisdom. And since their minds have no obscurations, they have no fear. Transcending falsity, they attain nirvana. All Buddhas who dwell in the three times rely upon the perfection of wisdom and become true and complete Buddhas of unsurpassable, perfect, and complete enlightenment. Therefore, the mantra of the profound perfection of wisdom, the mantra of insight, the unsurpassed mantra, the unequaled mantra, the mantra which calms all suffering should be known as true, for it is not false. The mantra of the perfection of wisdom is proclaimed. Teyata om gate gate paragate parasangate bodhisattva. Shariputra, this is how a bodhisattva mahasattva should train in the profound perfection of wisdom. Then the Blessed One arose from that samadhi and said to the Bodhisattva Mahasattva, Noble Avalokiteshvara, that he has spoken well. Well done, O son of the lineage. So, O son of the lineage, since it is just so, the profound perfection of wisdom should be practiced just as you have taught, and the Tathagatas will also rejoice. When the Blessed One had said this, Venerable Sharadatiputra, Noble Avalokiteshvara, Bodhisattva Mahasattva, and the entire gathering, as well as worldly beings, gods, humans, asuras, and gandharvas, rejoiced and praised the words of the Blessed One.
Do Sesa kunza lenye selimba, So we are continuing on the teachings of three principles of the path. So at this point, we're focusing on how to generate enunciations. This will then be followed by the criteria of true enunciations will be explained.
So here, we're focusing on the definition of having generated renunciations. Here, the verse here we read, when by having a train in that way, there is no arising even for a second of attraction to the perfection of cyclic existence. And all day and night, the intention seeking liberation arises, then the thought of renunciation has been generated. So this kind of quality of the mental state or spiritual development can be developed by reversing, in other words, reversing the attraction towards this life, and the reversing the attraction to the appearance of the future life. So we talked about this earlier, that freedom and the endowment are difficult to find, and life has no time to spare. By gaining familiarity with this, attraction to the appearance of this life is reversed, right? So then this will then be followed by the next verse. It said, by thinking over and over again that actions and their effects, the actions and effects here referring to the law of cause and effect, are unbettering, which means they're unfailing, and repeatedly contemplating the miseries of the cyclic existence, attraction to the appearance of the future life is reversed. So with this kind of contemplations, the continuous contemplations will enable one to generate what we call the thought of renunciation. So, in order to generate renunciations or develop renunciations, first of all, one must understand the nature of cyclic existence or the shortcoming of cyclic existence, in other words. So, if you're able to gain insight into the shortcoming of cyclic existence, and your attachment or the attraction to the appearance of mundane excellences will be reversed. So without reversing one's attention to the appearance of the mundane excellences, it is not possible for one to generate what we call the renunciations. So normally, for us as a normal being or the ordinary beings, we have a very strong attachment towards our mundane excellences, such as a shelter, place, friends, and so on and so forth. We think that these are the main sources for one's own happiness. And having an idea of they are the sources that one may gain an ultimate state of happiness. With this kind of idea in one's mind, one generates attachment towards mundane excellences, or the attachment towards mundane excellences, or something that you lack, you have attachment towards something that you lack, and aversion towards something that you dislike. So with this kind of attachment and aversion, becomes an impediment of generating what we call the perfect renunciations. So what is meant by perfect renunciation is a renunciation that we talked about earlier by reversing the attraction to the appearance of the future life, as well as reversing the attraction to the appearance of this life, and having a great appreciation towards infallibility of cause and effect. And if you have these contemplations within your oneself, and with this kind of contemplation will leads oneself to generate what we call uncontrived renunciations. And if you analyze yourself, if you're able to find that kind of thought is developed within your thoughts and emotions, within your continuum, simultaneously, then this is the point or the criteria of having found, the uncontrived renunciation.
这种民主节目都要做的，大概七差不多。那么做的，当然做可以的，哪里也能原地。这当地原地哪里就讲讲的，你呢？哪里做花光的做的，那拍给了原地全部打掉啊！但就当时啊，当过年时啊，反正就搬走时啊，当树上做。 他说了呀，他就拍给了。他说要一呢，俺就让你进，得接起来的，用过药吧。哦，得接起用了，用完一呢，俺大舅拍给了，进台湾的进用过多少把的就，人家就出当进，俺让做了接，就是接对完了呢，他说了呢，移民就全部接。哦，得接起来完了，那第一套呢，差不多用毛毛去接，俺那第二块呢，假如。 杨家家族，家族都是靠的比较多。但是，第二年，研究那么大个就了解完了，俺就当当光那当，俺就做当当做当，哦，第二就龙卷，哦，就说当就都做了了，俺就眼巴多，就说个是就都做了了。 俺们上路当中的工把接的话，当都做锻炼的话，锻炼接的话，当，给些都做的锻炼接的，让你们托把你那样，年纪慢的话，第一刚刚七十七人当过药啊，啊，都做的上路些差不多就当托把你那，俺们可以不做都做的了，你因为怎么给起怎样没接完，我都是接的逻辑来过了，是真正的逻辑来对。 아니 네 좀 제교래. 아니 근데 이 로드 제용도 이제 가르쳐서나 네체 꾼돌이야다. 타바도니 타바도니야다. 거의 포존도 소리야다. 되네 되니 매워이나. 아니 다 되니 또도 가르쳐서 되니 뭐 타바 들어와서 타바 타는 공부. 네체 꾼돌이야다. 타바도니 로지 제수나. 진짜 나오는 종아이나 드디어 저런데 야 된 게 주디 제발해서
So normally we as ordinary beings our attachment towards cyclic life or the samsaric life is very strong. Such as attachment towards name, fame, position, wealth, as well as one's own attachment towards one's own physical body. And this kind of attachment is said to be an erroneous thought. And we are kind of led by this erroneous thought. And those erroneous thoughts are said to be the main obstacles, a very strong obstacle for achievement of renunciations. It is because of this erroneous thoughts we generate great, in a very strong attachment towards something that you like, and then aversion or even anger and hatred towards someone whom you dislike. And this is what you call the delusions. It is due to those delusions or the mental afflictions. We're kind of employed by those mental afflictions. In the worst case, that we're actually enslaved by those mental afflictions. And we follow the instructions of the mental afflictions, which actually, binds us within the cyclic existence. So now, if one long to achieve the perfect renunciation, or uncontrived renunciations, one must reverse those thoughts. One should not have attachment towards cyclic life, the life of cyclic existence. One should not let one's mind and thoughts influenced by those negative thoughts and emotions such as attachment and aversion. And by reversing one's thought regarding cyclic life, the life of cyclic existence, will enable one to have a genuine aspiration to attain liberations, both day and night. If you have this kind of intention of seeking liberation, both day and night, that arises within your mind stream simultaneously, that is the state or the point that you have actually found what we call renunciation.
Yet,
So it is important to, first of all, it's important to understand when speaking about of cultivating renunciations. So renunciation here, referring to the genuine aspiration to attain liberations by generating a genuine disenchantment towards cyclic life. That is what is meant by renunciations. Now the question is, how possible it is to free ourselves from this attachment towards cyclic life, the life of cyclic existence? So when you ask this question, then one should ask yourself and then analyze yourself whether this attachment towards the cyclic life is something that is that cannot be separated from your own nature of mind, or there's something that can be separated from your own mind. According to the teachings of the Dhamma, it says, one's nature of mind is untainted by those negative thoughts and emotions, in other words, attachment and aversions. And that attachment and aversions are within us advantageously. It is not primordially existent. It is not eternally existent. But rather, their very state of existence are advantageous. So therefore, it can be removed. It is removable from your own mind. So before you think of, you know, reversing yourself, reversing the thought regarding cyclic life, you must first analyze yourself and see whether those negative thoughts and emotions, such as attachment towards cyclic life, are something that can be removed, that can be separated from your own mind. So once you are able to, you know, understand the possibility of detaching your mind, your mind from those negative thoughts and emotions, such as attachment towards cyclic life, then your practice of renunciation will become meaningful. So without knowing the possibility of detaching your mind from the negative thoughts and emotions, such as attachment towards cyclic life, if you keep and forcing yourself in the practice of renunciation and aspiration to attain liberation and so on, will not make much sense. So therefore, first one must focus on how possible it is. What is the instrument that can actually free or that can actually detach your mind from those attachment towards cyclic life and so on? And this is how you actually approach yourself to the practice of what we call renunciations. So this teachings of the three principles of the path is the teachings of the higher vehicle or the Mahayana vehicle. Although the teachings is based on the Mahayana vehicle, it still teaches how to generate renunciations regarding the practitioner of Pratigyabuddha and Sharvakas. So the practice of renunciation is actually common in all three vehicles, the vehicle of Pratigyabuddha and vehicle of Sharvaka, and as well as the Bodhisattvayana, the Bodhisattvas. So however, when you look at the characteristic of the renunciations between the, you know, the lower vehicles, description of the lower vehicles renunciation and the higher or the Mahayanan standpoint of renunciations are slightly different. Renunciations, the definition of renunciations in the lower vehicles, it is merely to having a genuine wish to achieve liberation, free oneself from cyclic existence by cultivating a strong disenchantment towards cyclic life. That is the renunciation
how you actually attain, how you actually achieve renunciation in the context of lower vehicle. Whereas in the higher vehicle, the renunciation is your very purpose of practice of renunciation is to not only to free yourself from cyclic existence, but for the sake of all other sentient beings. So what it says in the according to the in the standpoint of the Mahayana vehicle, Mahayana, sir, if the renunciation, when the compassion, you know, you're having a genuine wish to free yourself from the suffering of cyclic existence, when that kind of thought is directing towards yourself, which becomes renunciation. And when you reverse, or when you actually direct this kind of thought towards other sentient beings, that becomes a great compassion. So if you look at the characteristic of renunciation between the lower vehicle and the higher vehicles, there's a difference. One is mere attainment of liberations from samsara, but other, it's not only to gain liberation, but your very purpose of gaining liberations or generation of renunciation is to benefit for the welfare of all other sentient beings. So having completed on pronunciations, the next step will be the purpose of generating the mind of enlightenment or the bodhicitta. So the mind of enlightenment or the bodhicitta is said to be the entrance for becoming oneself or the of venturing oneself on the path of Mahayana. So in order for one to venture on the path of Mahayana, first of all, it's important to generate the mind of enlightenment or the bodhicitta. So the purpose of generating the mind of enlightenment, here it says, the verse 6, even if renunciation has been developed, if it is not possessed by the mind of enlightenment, it does not become the cause of the perfect bliss of unsurpassed enlightenment. Therefore, the wise generate the supreme mind of enlightenment. So it says, although you may have generated renunciations, and your very development of renunciation is not possessed by the bodhicitta, in other words, the mind of enlightenment, and this will not become a cause for perfect enlightenment. That is what is meant by the perfect bliss of unsurpassed enlightenment, the complete enlightenment. It says, therefore, if one seeks to gain not only a liberation, but to the state of complete enlightenment for the benefit of other beings, then one must generate the supreme mind of enlightenment, the supreme mind of enlightenment, which means the bodhicitta.
So this particular verse actually emphasizes on importance of practice of three principles of the path become a cause of perfect enlightenment, which emphasizes on importance of generating bodhicitta. Because it says, therefore the wise, you're referring to the practitioners, if one long to achieve state of enlightenment, one should be wise. And therefore it says, generate the supreme mind of enlightenment. So if you are unable to broaden your mind, widen your mind, the generation of supreme state of enlightenment or the generation of bodhicitta is not possible. You're narrow-minded or your mind is kind of shrink and so limited, it is not possible for us to generate bodhicitta. To generate bodhicitta, we should have a broad, wise, and vast foundation upon which the bodhicitta can develop. The renunciation developed by the Sherbak and Pratik Buddhas, although the quality of renunciations serve the renunciation developed by the Pratik Buddha and Sherbakas serve as an actual cause for attaining liberation, or in other words, become an actual cause for, you know, freeing themselves from cyclic existence. Nevertheless, this will not become a cause for complete enlightenment. So therefore, what is really emphasized here is, now just gaining liberation from samsaric existence is not adequate. What one needs is to, one's aim of practicing the Dhamma is to complete state of enlightenment. Thus, important to develop bodhicitta or the mind of enlightenment. So
So then the next is how to generate the mind of enlightenment. Here, let's read through the verses. It says, swept away by the current of the four powerful rivers, tied up by the tight bonds of the karma, so hard to undo, caught in the iron net of the self-grasping, completely enveloped by the total darkness of ignorance, endlessly driven into cyclic existence, ceaselessly tormented by the three sufferings, thinking that all mothers are in such a conditions, generate the supreme mind of enlightenment. In short, it says, if, like the mothers who are cherished son has fallen into a pit of fire, and who experience even 1 second of his sufferings as an unbearable eternity, your reflection on the suffering of all mother sentient beings has made it impossible for you to bear their sufferings for even 1 second. And the wish seeking enlightenment for their sake arises without effort. Then you have realized the supreme precious mind of enlightenment. So here, the explanation will be followed by the setting examples. An example is then be followed by the actual meaning of the text. So here it says, swept away by the current of the four powerful rivers, and tied by the tight bonds of the karma, so hard to undo. So here, let's take an example. When someone's limb is completely tied, by the chain of iron chains, and you know, the person whose limb is completely tied, completely tied by this, iron chains, and threw that person into the four rivers, the powerful rivers. And how, unbearable this would be if you were to completely tied up and chained up your limbs without having a chance to even to move, and threw yourself into the four river currents, the very powerful rivers, then it will become so impossible for us to actually free ourselves from that, be out of those four powerful rivers. So it's 15 minutes break for tea. If you want to have some, let's take a tea break, okay?
Long.
So we talked about the example, which is the individual whose limb is completely tied by the iron chains, and you know, threw that person into the four current rivers, into the four powerful rivers, and it is not possible for the individual to actually get out of, you know, free from that four powerful rivers. So this is the example, actually, you know, I'm setting an example. And then, but it is important to, you know, actually follow the example, and this will then be followed by the actual explanation that of the meaning of this text. So here, the darkness is analogous to the ignorance is analogous to darkness, and without having a light of wisdom, that oneself and all others, other beings, are completely enveloped by the total darkness of ignorance.
So the thing is, Momba thing is not there, and Momba Naku the J. And then Danzi Chak Tower, the Chak Tower, the Danzi, Marazo Juga, Dark Tower, Danzi, the Chak Tower, and he generated Danzi to Jim.
So grasping itself, or the self-grasping mind, is here analogous to the iron net of iron net, or the iron chain, or the iron, you know, cage. So we are caught up in the grasping itself, regardless of who we are. We're completely, you know, caught in the net of grasping itself, existence, self of a person.
Then
So not only that you are caught up in the iron net of self-grasping, but you are swept away by the current of the four sufferings. The four powerful river here refers to the four sufferings. The suffering of death, aging, sickness, and birth. Those are the four powerful river here refers to the four sufferings. So we are caught up in the net of self-grasping and swept away by the four powerful sufferings. And remaining under these four powerful sufferings, unceasingly, without a break. So then one is completely, tied by the tight bonds of the karma, the one's own karma that one have committed. And without engaging in the practice of purification, it's so hard to undo. In fact, without any practice of purifications or the confession practice, it is impossible for us to undo the bounds of the karma. So then it says, endlessly reborn in the cyclic existence with this. And then, ceaselessly tormented by the three sufferings. So now let's go through the text, and then still there are, we have some more examples, and then the meanings. So let's go back to the verse 7 again. It says, swept away by the current of the four powerful rivers. And we talked about that earlier, the four powerful rivers. It refers to the four kinds of suffering. And we are swept away by those four kinds of sufferings. And it is not only suffering, but it's such a powerful suffering, in other words. It's very powerful suffering. And with unceasingly, without any break, that we are swept along by this four powerful sufferings.
Chenol du se kora jo kodeva tela ne
So you are swept along by the current of the four powerful sufferings, and there you are tied by the tight bonds of the karma. The karma that you have committed is actually completely bound yourself by your own negative deeds, and it is so hard to undo. And in other words, that you are swept along by the four current rivers, or the four sufferings, and then completely tied, your limbs and, you know, are completely tied by the karmic deeds that you have committed. And once you are completely, you know, tied by these karmic deeds, and it is not possible for one to really to undo yourself, free yourself. So the tied by the tight bonds of the karma. Here, karma here refers to the karma that caused, karma which is the cause for taking rebirth in cyclic existence or the samsara. That is the karma that here, refers to the cause of cyclic existence. And so hard to undo. It is so hard to undo because you are caught up in the iron net of the self-grasping. So long as you are caught up within the iron net of self-grasping mind, it is not easy. It's not. In fact, it is not possible for one to undo yourself or to free yourself from the iron net. So you are grasping itself. Is here, you know, analogous to the iron net, the grasping itself is iron net, and since you are completely caught up in a trapped inside this iron net of the grasping self, then it is very hard to undo. So then it's just completely enveloped by the total darkness of ignorance. So the grasping itself
is derived from the darkness of ignorance. And once you are enveloped by the total darkness of ignorance, and you have no wisdom, the light of wisdom. In other words, that the light of discriminating wisdom, the wisdom of discriminations. What is meant by wisdom discrimination is the wisdom that understands what is good and what is bad, what is positive and what is negative, what is to be abandoned and what is to be accomplished. So it says that completely enveloped by the total darkness of ignorance is referring to the completely lacking the light of wisdom.
So
then under such conditions of swept away by the current of the four powerful rivers, tied by the tight bonds of the karma, so hard to undo, and caught in the iron net of the self-grasping, and completely enveloped by the total darkness of ignorance. Under this circumstance, under such condition, one is then endlessly reborn in the cyclic existence or the samsara.
Oh yeah.
So not only that you have endlessly reborn in the cyclic existence and ceaselessly then here it says tormented by the three kinds of suffering. So since you are born endlessly in this cyclic existence, conditioned by the self-grasping and ignorance, and then once on negative karma, then the suffering will be ceaseless. In other words, suffering is ceaseless. So therefore, it says the ceaselessly tormented by the three kinds of suffering. Then it's the thinking that all mothers are in such a condition. So by thinking about
all sentient beings are tormented by the three kinds of suffering and caught up in the self-grasping and enveloped in the total darkness of ignorance. And by thinking about the circumstances and the situation of all mother sentient beings who are completely tormented by the sufferings and tormented by the suffering due to one's own their own karmic deeds. And when you have this understanding of the conditions of mother sentient beings and their situation of mother sentient beings, then you have a strong wish to free those sentient beings from cyclic existence, from the suffering of cyclic existence. And when you have this strong, when you are able to develop such a strong mental attitude within your continuum to gain to free all sentient beings from suffering nature of cyclic existence. So when you have this, then you will see at this point it is not really possible for you to actually help all sentient beings from free from cyclic existence. The only way in which that you can really help them to free from cyclic existence by gaining the state of enlightenment. So therefore you have that I must, gain state of enlightenment. My sole purpose of gaining state of enlightenment is to free all other sentient beings from the samsara. It is therefore with this kind of thought then you will be able to generate what we call the supreme mind of enlightenment or the bodhicitta. So here, the practice of generating bodhicitta, there are two different ways in which one engages in the practice of generation of bodhicitta, to generate bodhicitta. Is one is to reflecting upon all sentient beings as one's own mother, and recognition of other sentient beings as one's own mother. On that basis, then one generates bodhicitta. And there's another kind of practice of bodhicitta. It's not really referring, reflection on all sentient beings as one's own mother, but seeing all other beings as equal as oneself, just like you yourself want to be free from cyclic existence or suffering. So too, all other sentient beings have the same wish to overcome suffering and achieve happiness and so forth. By seeing that, by having empathetic, mental attitude, developing empathetic mental attitude with regard to other beings.
那种大家都没下个过了的，都弄的样子，讲究些简单的样子，那呢，叫俺去个南下这边淘米，那呢，多少时间汤姐让个马姐牛啊个，李淘米，那呢，大家懂的，送个都是那，这个拿去个。 农业考虑给过，当地家不着，不如做当土路去呢。南下这边农业的这个上当年，那时间说时间他们就让你把钱用上当，都做了，俺农业摘呀，俺都做了也得，得把贵呀钱做，俺都弄起来。
So the first, there's a, as we talked earlier about the two kinds of practice of generation of bodhicitta, the first, the practice of what we call the seven-point cause and effect practice of generating bodhicitta, which is teaching that is given by the Buddha. The root of these teachings are actually, you know, rooted to the sutra, that actual teaching given by the Buddha. Will then be, you know, transmitted to his followers, such as the Buddha Maitreya. We were then transmitted to the Buddha Maitreya's followers, all the way to great Adishidivamkara Shirijana. And so this is the one lineage, what we call the lineage of extensive deeds. So, the practice of meditation on the 7-point analysis, or not the 7-point cause and effect practice, is actually emerged from the lineage of extensive deeds, with beginning from Buddha to the Pamaja, all the way to the Atisha and so forth. So there's then another lineage of the practicing of bodhicitta, what we call the practicing of bodhicitta based on what we call exchanging self and others. This is a one kind of, you know, one set of, again, practice of the meditation on bodhicitta. And this lineage follows, this lineage stemmed from, again, Buddha himself to the Manjushri, Nagarjuna, Aryadeva, Buddha Palita, and Chandrakriti. So those are the lineage practitioners, the lineage practitioners of what is lineage practitioner known as profound view, the lineage holder of profound view. So this practice of generation of bodhicitta is not emphasized more on recognition that all other sentient beings as one's own mother, and remembering their kindness and repaying their kindness and so forth, but they are emphasized more on exchanging self with others.
George Bati Ate Shabbat Malay, George Bati Ate Shani,
So in India, at that time, there are two lineage holders of the practice of bodhicitta. As we talked earlier, the lineage of the profound view and the lineage of the extensive deeds. The lineage of the extensive deeds, beginning from Buddha to the Maitreya, all the way to the Atisha, is said to be the lineage of extensive deeds. And then the lineage of profound view here as by profound view beginning from Buddha to Manjushri, Nagarjuna, Buddha Palita, Aryadeva, and Chandrakriti. Again, we'll all the way to Adisha as well. So here, what the Adisha did was like Adisha Dibhamkara Shirjana is combine those two practices together, both the lineage practice of the profound lineage of profound view, the practice of the lineage of this extensive deeds were combined. So the practice of bodhicitta, the meditation on bodhicitta in Tibet right now is done the combination of both, which is the very, exclusive instructions given by the Adisha himself. Adisha is the one who actually combined those two practices together and then transmitted to his followers. And so therefore, in the Tibetan, Mahayana Buddhist practice, we combine those two practices together and then meditate. So here, let's go one by one of those 7 points, cause and effect of meditation on bodhicitta, according to the practice of extensive deeds, the lineage holders of the extensive deeds. So this seven point cause and effect practice is here the first sixth are the cause of generating bodhicitta, and then the last one is the result, which is the actual bodhicitta, the mind of enlightenment itself. So what are the six? Then here, let's, the six causes are, first, recognition of all sentient beings as one's own mother, and remembering the kindness of other sentient beings. Not only that, then the third one is, not only that you are remembering that kindness of their, but you have a strong wish to repay their kindness, which is the third. And the fourth is heartwarming love. The love that you have is not an ordinary, but it's such a genuine love that you have such a genuine wish of happiness upon all other sentient beings, what is called heartwarming love. Then great compassion, the compassion will be compassion is the fifth, which will then be followed by the generation of what we call resolute intention. So those are the six causes which enables one to generate the result, bodhicitta.
Each
So first we have to, you know, to prepare an appropriate foundation upon which one can develop those six causes for generations. What is meant by the appropriate foundation is here, appropriate foundation here refers to the practice of equanimity. So equanimity is very important here, because normally we have three kinds of mental attitude with regard to other beings. The first, we have attachment towards one's own loved ones, someone whom you think that they are your people, or your close ones, your loved ones, or your parents and your own you know, relatives and so on and so forth. Regarding with regard to those beings, we have a strong attachment. And there's another kind of, you know, mental attitude with regard to other beings. It's like hatred, whom you dislike, or whom you consider as your own, you know, enemy, that you have this, you know, rough mental attitude regarding other beings. And then there's a third mental attitude with regard to other beings. It's kind of disregarding. And you have no regard for any, you know, those beings who may be not your, who is neither your, you know, loved ones or the nor your enemy, but you're kind of ignoring them. Or the disregarding attitude. Disregarding attitude, attachment, and aversion, or the hatred, are the three mental attitudes which need to be gotten rid of in order to, you know, practice, you know, in a very squinched, you know, practice, you know, orderly of those six causes. So we don't have much time right now, so we will stop here the teachings, and then we'll take a few questions if you have questions.
Is there a simple way to do the 7-point mind training and exchange yourself with others together, point by point?
Simple way?
Yeah, to do both. You said that the two bodhicitta methods?
The Quran is that dingi nija ta chik dum devu che jen nyam dol ya ta but dum devu ta devu che jen duk nyam le che che dan chyo re bes dingi nija ta da ta jen nyam je kon nyam le che ya ta ta de gyun de me ga dun nyam le nija che ya dum devu che je che dan chyo re bes
dum devu che jen ta din su su sam bo na ya da And then, Dashi Nanji Gonya, the Changu Sejago, Jimmy Mangatu, Jagger is.
So as we talked about earlier, that whether you want to engage in the practice of bodhicitta in a simplified way, or you wanted to engage in the practice of bodhicitta in a very elaborated way. Whichever you want to do, but important is to first prepare the stable mind, which is equanimity, that we talked about earlier. So on the basis of development of this equanimity, then one can think of first, because we can't really, you know, make very easy to practice this bodhicitta. It's something that doesn't require any effort or anything. Well, this cannot really simplify way of giving this. But what I would say here is, now you can think of both the practice of exchanging self and others, and the 7-point practice of cause and effect. And having, you know, developed this mental, in other words, equanimity, you then see, try to understand and try to get the actual nature of the practice of those two lineages, the practice of those two different lineages. And then you can choose which one is more suitable for your own mind, yourself. If you think that 7-point practice, cause and effect practice, is more suitable, something that is more, you're more inclined towards that, then you can engage in the practice of 7-point mind, cause and effect practice. And then you can also see and do the practice of the exchanging self with others. And which one is more, you know, suitable for your own mind? You can choose either one of these two, because the purpose of both the practice, although their way of practicing and the lineages of those practices are different, but your result and your objective is the same. Objective of the both of those practice lineage, the practice of a different lineage,
is to cultivate bodhicitta, to develop bodhicitta. So therefore, you can choose either one depending upon your own mind. Because Gisela stated that he can't really simplify and give you a very simple way, because it is important for all of us to know that we really need to put in effort and then go, stage by stage. And he cannot really say that this one will be the, more effective for you, or that one is a more effective for you. It is not easy for him to say that, because he doesn't know your inclination and your disposition.
Okay.
Let's do the dedication.
I was curious that from my studies that it said that the best thing to do is to try. If you're following this lineage of Tsongkhapa's lineage, they combine the two together, and it's good to do both the 11 point practice to get the ultimate bodhicitta and relative bodhicitta methods.
Quite disabled.
That's what I was told, that this lineage put the two together.
You mean ultimate bodhicitta and relative bodhicitta? So ultimate bodhicitta is not actual bodhicitta, you know that, right? Ultimate bodhicitta is the wisdom realizing emptiness.
Yes.
Okay. So dhirishana ko disudu tandangan lagin disudu tanda kha jing na lyen ta ko kunju janju ge sem da donam janju ge sem ni ja nyam du ge ge ta menga jup jup ji ji ge ni dus menga jup ji sing ji menga jup ji o menga jup ji ge gyun je ani donam janju ge sem da kunju janju sem ni ge ge ayo ta ko na pe jin di donam janju sem kunju janju sem ni ja janju sem re sam den go men do janju sem re sam den go men do ko de na tanda ge go sam mas ko ga lo go na den de chin sa re ngi la bi ta donam janju sem de to ni do be sher la go re di janju sem ngo ne ba se go mar da sla bi ngi ta la gyun
kunju janju se da de chang de don janju se ni ju ji le ya de du ji le ya ji ya se ya chi za ni mo ma yo ma le se de don janju se je wa de pa bi gong gong to wa du na le se janju se je wa de chong te ba chi ni chong janju se du le je wa de te ba chi ni chong to wa du na wa chong ni chong ni chi ri chu chong ro an ni de ni jong long zhe suo yin ro an yin ni de don janju se ji je wa de ma do
It is not possible to generate, relative bodhicitta and the ultimate bodhicitta at the same time, because there's a proper sequence in there. When one is engaging in the practice, your practice is directing towards generation of bodhicitta. And when you generate bodhicitta, when you develop bodhicitta, you're actually ventured on the first path of the Mahayana, right? At that time, at the moment that you have developed the path of accumulation, in other words, right? When you're on the path of accumulation, at that time, it is not possible for you to actually, have the ultimate bodhicitta. Not at all. Mm-hmm. Because ultimate bodhicitta is only developed later, mm-hmm. when you complete it, when you are perfected on the path of accumulations. And then within the path of accumulations, you have to pass three paths of accumulations, mm-hmm. which will then be followed by the path of preparations. Having perfected part of preparation will then lead yourself to the path of seeing. At that time, you're able to generate ultimate bodhicitta. Mm-hmm. Ultimate bodhicitta is only generated when you reach the path of seeing, mm-hmm. when you become an Arya beings, in other words, Pakpa, or the Arya beings, or the superior being. So see, this is the difference. So they have a name of a bodhicitta, but in the meaning, they are completely different.
I agree. I think, though, that it's beneficial to basically get rid of self-cherishing and self-grasping, which are the two opposite energies that you're trying to get free of. Mm-hmm. And I think it's good to work on both of them, because if you can work on one in the evolution, if you're just starting off, you know, but if you're midstream or going, if you're somewhere in those areas, it's good to get a taste of both methods, you know. And I agree with the step-by-step gradual method, you know. I have no disagreement. It's just that I was, the teachings that I've been given were informed me to work on 11-point practice rather than a 7-point practice and then a 5-point practice, but to do the combination of them together, because then as you evolve with the understanding of each one, you get to the place where you were just elaborating, you know, you finally get to that, the complete stage, rather than just the generation stage.
This is the basic. Toma ne so so changju samlo changbe kam ne da deliya, chik ranjenze danze yorwa, danze liya kabdi chagi chagi nyamu chen tobe na, ani malam chik dandam simge dandam changju simdige, dandam simge de pike liya nyamdu liya ke to miwa sanro sta dende chenbe res tenson sa kona sambe na liya, ende tenson ten chazamashi, chidan de da biko. Lam dege de ko kasa dege soge lam da pa lam de ko yini barem jin dogo go robas imin ko na sambe na de ten song sa da di jaju assembly ya gomba jaju assembly ya da kanda nyamle chegi chegi de da nyamdo li ya ani chik danzen li ya ya chik ya ko kyen de je de nyamdo li ya to sto be na pe je ni ja nyam de ke ta me sa so ro ten sa de so ro
Jambo Give it the boy and boy, your Lamsay and do lie and do jay, Gages, me die, me. Sarah, one do I give Lambda, lambda, deva, my joy. Gaze, deva, joy, joy, joy. Suje, dolo, tumba, dees. Tuje, naje, dado, doje. Taje, yazo, joy, jayo. Kuze, rabbeje, number, jende, jojo, gavana. Lozai dende do me sa sonje, do ve me se ta do me yoje. Rave kove jengade, pendai de wa ma le juwe. Chere de wen denje ja toye, ja de si de ba doye denje. Jedora Jemba Adam, Gondor Bambo,